The Last Call Podcast, Chris Michaels. I am a little bit under the weather, but I'm going to press on just the same. Well, intelligence does not run deep in the Democrat Party. I'm not sure if you heard about this one. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, she was telling school's kids that, well, the space out there beyond the atmosphere is a little bit different than what you think it is. During the solar eclipse event on Monday, she said that the moon is a planet made up mostly of gases. And she thinks that they will be able to go on to Mars and be there permanently. The moon is more manageable to go to. And then she says this too, the sun is a mighty powerful heat, but it's almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is the place to go. And she also said that the moon reflects the sun's light and gives off unique light and energy. Ah, yes. Yes, very good. I don't think we've been on the moon the last 50 years, so we will be landing on the moon, she says. What you'll see today will be the closest distance that the moon has ever been in the last 20 years, which means that why they will shut the light down because they will be close to the Earth. Oh, yes, of course. That must be it. Now, okay, so her district is in, I believe, in Texas, and it borders on NASA's facilities out there. So you could take this in a couple of ways. First thing is that you have to realize is that supposedly, yes, there is gas on the moon. It's supposed to be helium, argon, neon, ammonia, methane, and carbon dioxide. Now, that's assuming you believe that they landed on the moon. I am one of those people that says, yes, they probably did land on the moon, but no, not in the way that we've been told and showed for many reasons that I won't get into. Now, you also have to think that maybe she's saying something truthful here, but it is so outlandish and it's not part of the mainstream science out there that she is being ridiculed for this. And I said, well, maybe that could be a possibility, but I'm thinking this is going to go into the L column for Miss Lee, because we find out in many news stories that, well, she is probably the dimmest bulb in Congress. All you have to do is go back to the Daily Beast from 2017. She quips, Miss Jackson Lee of Texas, that the Constitution is 400 years old. Ah, yes, so it was the Pilgrims that put the Constitution into place. Maybe we can see John Smith's signature on there, huh, Miss Lee? And she also says that, well, and by the way, she was on the House Science Committee at this point. She was asking whether or not the Mars Pathfinder mission was able to take a picture of the American flag that Neil Armstrong planted there back in 1969. Once again, she thinks that that happened on Mars. Yes, that's right. She also is not very up to date on her geography. Today we have two Vietnams, she says, side by side, North and South, exchanging and working. We may not agree with all that North Vietnam is doing, but they are living in peace. I hate to tell you this, Miss Lee, but that ain't the case. Then she also confuses the Democrat Party with Klansmen. I'm sorry, Tea Partiers with Klansmen. All those who wore sheets a long time ago have now lifted them off and started wearing clothing with a name. Say, I am part of the Tea Party. Well, Miss Lee doesn't know that the Klan pretty much was the Democrat Party. Juneteenth, which I'm sure she celebrates time and again, was really about Democrats not telling slaves that they were freed after the Civil War. And it took Republicans forcing the military into Oklahoma to say, hey, these guys are taking advantage of you. There is no more slavery, Democrat slave owners. So Miss Lee is an idiot. She has always been an idiot, just like Maxine Waters, just like Representative Jasmine Crockett. And she is now saying, and this comes from the Dallas City Wire and American Greatness that a way for reparations to be paid should be that African Americans should no longer have to pay income taxes. Oh, yes. And she said one of the things that they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then, again, that puts money back in your pocket. I mean, where do they get these people from? Where do they get these people from? How stupid do you have to be? Then back in September of 2023, Ms. Crockett says, I will tell you what Joe Biden has been guilty of. He has unfortunately been guilty of loving his child unconditionally, and that is the only evidence that they have brought forward. And honestly, I hope and pray that my parents love me half as much as he loves his child. Really, could this be the same Joseph Biden that loved his daughter in the shower, thanks to Ashley Biden's diary being made public? And unfortunately, the finder of the diary is now in prison. Talk about a political hit nonetheless. I mean, this is just the stereotypical nonsense that we have to deal with when it comes to these Democrats. And it's just beyond me how these people can even be in office. I mean, unless you're starting to consider, like we all know, that a lot of these people are not intelligent. Look at all, and I'm going to hit the other side for this. Look at all of the conservative stars out there, the media influencers that happen to be on the conservative side of things. Look at Lauren Boebert. Look at Nurse Erin. All of those people. Remember Nurse Erin? She made the headlines way back during COVID for being a whistleblower from, you know, on and on we go, right? About COVID shots and all the rest, right? Look into the backgrounds of those people. You find that they come from checkered pasts, including being escorts and all that kind of nonsense. So it happens on both sides. But to be in politics, most of the time, you need to be an effing moron to do it. Hello, George Bush II. Because they don't want people to be able to think. They want people to be able to be handled, right? They want people surrounding them, taking orders, and then they are the actors and actresses out there in front of you giving lip service while they do the exact opposite of what they say through policy and legislation. Typical Democrat strategy. And they'll use all of the media outlets to force this opinion on us to try and get us to accept it, when in reality, they're only speaking to the Democrat base. NPR is in a lot of hot water. I mean, to be honest with you, I knew NPR, having worked in terrestrial radio, is completely compromised. It tries to portray itself as, oh, we are this middle-of-the-road news group where you have Ira Glass broadcasting to you all over the nation on This American Life, where he can't even speak full sentences without taking these really odd pauses while he talks to people in America who happen to be only liberal. NPR is in heap big trouble. Why? Well, there was a whistleblower that came out, and this comes from the Washington, D.C. side of it. Washington, D.C.'s editorial board, according to this whistleblower, is only Democrat Party people. In other words, this guy looked up the voting registration of every single person, all 87 of them, in the Washington, D.C. office. All 87 were Democrats, not one registered Republican in that office. And do you know what happened when he presented his information to the people at NPR? One, he was met with indifference. The few people that actually had a reaction, they basically said, "What? My goodness, what a coincidence." Yeah, there's something about that. The more supposedly intelligent people are more prone to believing in coincidences than actual conspiracy, right? And then the rest of them say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. And pretty much, thank God, we didn't actually give any sort of credence to the Hunter Biden laptop story, which turned out to be true. So this is what NPR is supposed to be. It's funded by the taxpayer, essentially. And these taxpayer dollars are being used to push Democrat policy, to push leftist policy all across this nation. Tax dollars shouldn't be going to this. There really should be some kind of diversity in there. And in this case, it should be a diversity of thought. But they can't go back down on that, right? Because as soon as they say, well, you know, we really did some icky things here by homogenizing the thought process and what our opinions and what our news stories are all like. Well, if you turn back on that, then you get into a lot more trouble, because then what were you lying about? What kind of news stories did you publish and stand behind that were really just Democrat talking points or Dr. Fauci talking points? Then they get into a lot of trouble. This is also coming out from the Federalist. Employee, NPR tracks race, sex of sources, and lets trans activists police its language. So this is another stupid, stupid story. Because what they're saying here is that they are now allowing people to influence the speech of NPR. Berliner, this is the whistleblower I was referring to, explained that NPR reporters were required to ask every person they interviewed about their sex, skin color, ethnicity, and then input that information into a centralized tracking system. He added that NPR's burgeoning diversity, equity, and inclusion staff organized meetings intended to spark conversations about race, with monthly sessions for men of color, women of color, that included non-binary people. And the journalists also underwent unconscious bias training sessions. Oh, yes, because that's most important when you're trying to report the abuses of the federal government, like getting us into Afghanistan, getting us into Iraq, basically being eyeball deep in the Ukraine, right? All of that, maybe even reporting on a stolen election. Those stories, those criterias, they don't matter. But what does matter is DEI. What does matter is that you only have Democrats on the editorial boards. But there wasn't just that. Berliner also said there's an unspoken consensus about the stories we should pursue and how they should be framed. It's frictionless. One story after another about instances of supposed racism, transphobia, signs of the climate apocalypse, Israel doing something bad, and the dire threat of Republican policies. It's almost like an assembly line. The mindset prevails in choices about language. In a document called NPR Transgender Coverage Guidance, disseminated by News Management, we're asked to avoid the term biological sex. Now, this comes from the same organization that pushed the line, trust the science, during COVID. But we can't trust the science about there being two genders, about there being male and female. Now, you can dress up, you can get cosmetic surgery, you can take all the pills you like. But when you're dead and gone and they scoop up your bones, they're still going to be able to tell which gender you were born as. I'm sorry to tell you that. And this comes from the organization that says trust the science. They don't want to trust science. They don't want to believe science. So do you really think tax dollars should be going into this? And I personally, having worked in terrestrial radio, AM and FM, can tell you no, tax dollars should not be going into that. There should be strict criteria about how those tax dollars go to all of these organizations, because I can promise you it's all biased. I was probably maybe one, two, at most, three semi-conservative voices. And the only reason why I'll even go that high, three out of probably roughly 70 people, was because during COVID, you had two other people that were honest to God, middle of the road people, because they would talk to conservatives and liberals, that were siding with me about all of the COVID nonsense, all the mandates, all the vaccines, everything about going against the war in Afghanistan and all the rest. They weren't actually conservatives. They weren't actually Trump supporters. They were just in the middle that happened to side with me on a few issues. I can promise you the rest of the station, hyper-liberal. Hyper-liberal. You can't get around it. They even, a short story, I did a broadcast one time in a coffee-fueled sermon about how they were manipulating the COVID data by saying, it doesn't matter how you died, you will have COVID-related death. You'll have on your death certificate, basically cause of death being COVID. You can get shot in the face with a bazooka, but they'll still do a COVID test and make it sure that it's positive so the hospital can get more money from the federal government. In other words, grift and lies, right? And fraud, essentially. Somebody was really, really upset by that. Not because it wasn't true, just because this person had an emotional response to the story that I did, because they had somebody die in their family, supposedly, from COVID. And basically, my response was, well, you should really dig into this. Was this person really, did this person really die because of COVID? Yes or no? Or did you do an autopsy and all this? Oh, they wanted to meet me anywhere, at any time, my place, my time of choosing. They gave me their cell phone number, and they wanted to have a fight. I mean, it was literally meeting somebody after school by the bike racks at 3 p.m. That kind of mindset goes on at all these liberal stations if you dare to run counter to the narrative. By the way, I was also known as the Rush Limbaugh of truth at the same radio station when I was hypercritical of the Bush administration and what I said about the invasion of Iraq, Afghanistan, and so on. I was the darling of that station over there. I was getting accolades for saying those things. But as soon as I went against the Democrats, and as soon as I wasn't even pro-Trump, I was just railing against the Democrats and their ridiculous narratives against Trump, immediately I was worse than Hitler. I mean, you get where all of this goes, right? Alex Jones is facing after that. Oh, by the way, here's another sidebar. I went over that story yesterday about that CIA contractor who, by the way, some people said, well, he's just a contractor. Doesn't mean he works for the CIA. Well, technically, he does work for the CIA being a contractor. It enables him to do more things that officially the CIA can't technically do, right? So the other thing is that guy has the pedigree of working for the FBI, the CIA, and on. So he's in this intelligence network. Alex Jones was pretty much the subject of that conversation in that leaked video. Well, now he's suing the CIA, and rightfully so, because in this video, we find out that, quote unquote, they took Jones's money away and they wanted to chop off his legs. I went through all this yesterday. So here's something else that we need to consider. A lot of these people, right? And I kind of brought this up. A lot of these people that are in these undercover videos, right? They live a more bohemian lifestyle. So is it time to consider whether or not that is a national security risk? So if you don't know what that is, look it up, right? A bohemian lifestyle. It's something that we really need to start analyzing just as much as whether or not you're putting dual citizens of any country in high cabinet level positions. Do you think that that could be an intelligence risk as well? And I would say yes. So that's another little fallout that we need to start analyzing here. Alex Jones said, I'm planning on launching a lawsuit against the CIA and the FBI. I've retained firms to sue for civil rights violations, government racketeering, and others. So this is finally something that could potentially right the wrongs here, but I don't really put that into the win column because you're going to have a lot of issues arise from that, right? You cannot necessarily have a massive lawsuit against the CIA and expect to win. It's never going to work. They're going to hide everything. They're going to make sure that you can't get all the evidence and on and on and on. But that's how a fascist system works. Fascism is going to be a blend of intelligence agencies, government, and private industry. I refuse to call this Bolshevism, right? Bolshevism is using this central planning mechanism here, and the guise is that the government is telling industry what to do. But in the United States, I refuse to believe that the Biden administration is telling industry what to do. It's more along the lines of a kleptocracy and an aristocracy in this case, where you have all of these big industries like big pharma and all this, they're influencing government policy, and government is winning money, basically the politicians are winning money from the, let's just take big pharma, big industry, big agriculture, and they are allowing these policies to occur. You have an industry-based governance. You've got a fascist kleptocracy in this kind of place that we live called America. Another big story that came out from the Biden administration, essentially the Biden administration has been allowing insider trading. Well, we all know that every member of Congress, Senate, House of Republicans, doesn't matter, not House of Republicans, House of Representatives, doesn't matter. They all allow them to perform insider trading. What do I mean by that? The same people that are influencing the policies of the United States government, the same people, the elected officials, that are allowing contracts to go through. Oh, we're going to give $1 billion to climate change. So which climate companies are out there? How are we going to distribute this $1 billion? Then what do? They get everything approved. They now have $1 billion to spend. The same people that you elect, supposedly, go out and they buy stocks of the companies that expect to be awarded these government contracts. That's insider trading. You're technically not allowed to do that. That is something that is extremely illegal. However, if you're in Congress, you can do this. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, they were giving all of these companies, specific companies like JP Morgan, like BlackRock, and a slew of other hedge funds and research firms and other banks, they were giving them priority information, or I should say it this way, they were letting them know which way the government was going to report jobs numbers, and this allowed these banks and hedge funds to trade appropriately. The Biden administration called them super users. Ah, so do you now start to understand why these banks and hedge funds want Joseph Biden's administration to continue along with this? Not only are they making a ton of money off of the Ukraine war and various other wars through the quote-unquote defense industry, but they are being allowed to trade the labor statistics. They're being allowed to trade all of the government data on American workers ahead of the official reports. This allows them a distinct advantage to make even more money before somebody like you or me or some other low-level trader that doesn't belong to one of these massive hedge funds or banks, that we only get to trade on this data after the official report, but they all know about it. This allows them to bet in any direction that they want ahead of time and make money off of those bets. Once again, this is another example of how a supposed democracy really falls into fascism. It's going to be it for me. It's Chris Michaels, Last Call Podcast. And do not forget for a second to share me, like me, and also give me a few stars on whatever platform you've got. Seems I've taken a few hits from haters, and my ranking has dropped. So increase that ranking. Do what you have to do. I appreciate it as always, and I will be back tomorrow.